one of the things that happens in scouting is courts of honor. And before COVID, and I know it's starting to come back a little bit, but before COVID, courts of honor were a big deal, and I know they still are, but it was fun to be able to gather together, and there were candles for all the different ranks, and as each person moved up to their rank, there's a little saying that said every time, and people get their awards, and you get honored, and then everybody gets their achievement awards and their badges, and it's so great to see who gets what, who moves up in rank, who gets awards. And then, of course, there's the big, giant court of honor when people get their Eagle Scout awards. And that's a big deal because they have to go to the board, and they get honored there. And then usually there's an Eagle ceremony that we get to attend, and that often has food involved, too, at the end of that. But we get to learn about the project and see everything, and it's just such a great time. It's a big deal to be honored. But have you ever been honored when you felt like, I don't know if I really deserve that or not? Maybe it was a badge you were working on that mom and dad really did a lot of help with that, or grandma or grandpa, and you're like, I don't know if I really earned this or not. Or maybe it was some other situation. Maybe it was something at school or work where you feel like you were getting a lot of kudos for something where you didn't really feel necessarily worthy of getting that honor. Or maybe you were in a situation where somebody else got credit and was honored for something that you did. How does that make you feel? How do those situations make you feel? Did you still accept the honor? Did you refuse to accept the honor? Did you pretend like you deserved an honor when you didn't get it? Were you mad that somebody else got honored when you should have gotten that honor? Well, this morning, the scriptures that were read, we had three stories of three different men who all received great honor. And each of those three men knew that they did not deserve the honor that they received. Yet they all accepted the honor that was given to them. They all felt unworthy, but they accepted the gift. But they didn't stop with just accepting it. Being honored, even though they didn't deserve it, caused them to live differently. They lived into the honor that was given to them. They chose to live honorably. So in our first story that we heard today, we hear of Isaiah. Isaiah had an incredible honor. I don't know about you, but it would be an honor that I might like to be able to have a vision of God seated on God's throne. That is pretty amazing. And his reaction to that, seeing the temple and the heavens and all those fiery angels, was to realize that I do not deserve this experience. In fact, he realized that he should have been dead. He says, "Woe, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips." Well, what did that mean? Maybe saying one thing and doing another. So, or saying mean things about other people that aren't true, or lying. Maybe it meant all of these things and even more things that we can think about having unclean lips, saying words that we shouldn't say. And yet, God gives Isaiah a job that requires using his lips. We heard that the angel came, took a tong from the fire, and said, "Now your lips are clean." And then God turns around and gives Isaiah a job using the very lips that he had said were unclean in the beginning. God tells Isaiah to go to his own people and tell them about God. And if we had kept reading in the story, we would have heard God say that it was going to be a very, very difficult job, because the people weren't going to listen to him. But if we kept reading in Isaiah, we would find out that Isaiah did this job faithfully again and again and again. Isaiah goes to his people and tells them the messages that God wants them to hear. He lived into the honor that God gave him. Next, we heard about Simon Peter. Simon is an experienced fisherman, but at Jesus' request, he goes out. He's been fishing, and they had brought their nets in, and he goes out one more time, even though they hadn't caught a lot of fish, and Peter receives an amazing gift. There are so many fish that he has to get his fishing buddies to help him out. Peter's response was to tell Jesus, "Get away from me. I don't deserve to be in your presence. I am sinful." He says, "Get away from me. I am a sinful man." He didn't deserve to have the honor of Jesus' presence, much like Isaiah said. But Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, you're unworthy of this honor." Jesus gives Peter a job, just like God gave Isaiah a job. He tells Peter to follow him, and that from now on, Peter would be catching people instead of fish. And finally, we have a story about Paul. Paul said that he persecuted the church. He killed people who believed in Jesus. That's what he did. He thought he was serving God. He didn't do it out of meanness. He really thought he was serving God. He thought that's what God wanted him to do. But then Jesus revealed himself to Paul and extended grace and forgiveness and eternal life. And then Jesus gives Paul a job to do. He makes him an apostle. And Paul tells us that he was unworthy, and yet he accepts this great honor and goes and preaches to many places and many countries around that whole Middle Eastern area and telling people about Jesus and planting churches. So all three of these men had an amazing encounter with God. They all responded with awe. They were all three immediately struck with the fact that they weren't worthy of honor. And it's only right to feel unworthy in the presence of a super amazing, wonderful, gracious God. But God encounters human beings not to condemn or terrify them, but rather to transform them and to call them into service. And God still does that with us today. Notice that with the honor God gives also responsibilities. The good news is that the fulfillment of God's cosmic purpose involves individual human beings whom God chooses to encounter. Isaiah, Paul, and Peter lived into the honor they received by accepting responsibility and taking it seriously. The new responsibility is the reward for being honored. Have you ever been given a big responsibility? How did it make you feel to get more responsibility? Were you proud that someone trusted you enough to handle the responsibility? At the last Court of Honor meeting, there's a young man, and he got his badge that had to do with knife safety and fire safety. And part of receiving that badge comes responsibility. You have to be able to prove that you can use the knife safely and that you can be around fire safely. And if you don't, there's a possibility that that award might go away. So you have a responsibility that comes with the honor of receiving the badge. So when you got a responsibility, a big responsibility, did you want to fulfill it well? Or was it something you just wanted to slack off? Someone once said that God can work through you or in spite of you. To be involved in God's work is a huge privilege. God's going to accomplish what God's going to accomplish. But God chooses us to be part of that. God gives us responsibility with the honor of knowing God. It is clear in this, that the sense of mission on the part of God's people flows out of our understanding of who God is, both in and of God's self in relation to God's world. In Isaiah, we hear that God is holy, holy, holy. That's super duper holy, the holiest that you can get. Holy means to be set apart, to be different, that God is other. God is different from the created world. And God's holiness implies two things. First, that the whole creation is dependent upon its creator. And that God is holy in the sense that God is outside of creation and the sovereign ruler over it. Second, it shows that God is morally superior to God's creation. God is consistent and reliable in dealing with people. God never lies. Whatever God says is true. God always keeps God's promises. God is a God of justice and love who always has these qualities day in and day out, in good times and bad times. And what is more, the holy God summons the people of God to live lives characterized by these same persistent principles. Being in God's presence is a transforming experience. All three people were changed after their encounters with Jesus or with God than they were before. The gospel is more than a story, it's a transforming power. It is the divine activity by which we are drawn into the circle of God's grace and made new creatures. God not only cleanses us and forgives us, but releases us to speak God's words to others when we encounter them. We have to be willing, like Isaiah and Peter and Paul, to answer God's call and embrace the responsibilities that God gives us. We have to have the courage and the boldness to make the radical changes in our lives that are needed by wading into difficult and unfamiliar waters. Simon was reluctantly obedient. His own reasoning tells him that this is just one more futile effort to catch fish. He says, "Master, we have worked all night long and caught nothing." He's had some exposure to Jesus. He respects Jesus, but Peter doesn't really know Jesus yet. He doesn't understand who Jesus is. After this miraculous catch, Simon Peter has an awareness that Jesus is holy, that Jesus is different, and that he, Peter, is not worthy to be in the presence of such a person. Peter initially says, "Master," that's a respectful term. He calls him that. It would have been called of any kind of a leader, so he recognizes Jesus as a leader. But after he catches the fish, he calls Jesus Lord. It's two different Greek words. Lord can be translated master, but in this case, two different words were used. And the second time when he says, "Lord, get away from me, I'm a sinful man," he recognizes that the power of Jesus is God's own power. And he realizes that that is appropriate in the presence of such power. With Isaiah, he knows the fear of the Lord. And now that he really experiences Jesus, Peter and his fishing partners leave their nets to follow Jesus. They left everything, the Bible says, to follow him. It takes courage to follow Jesus. Followers of Jesus are not necessarily expected to understand everything that Jesus tells us to do, but we're expected to obey. There's a lot of times when we don't always understand why the rules are the way they are, but we have to obey. Doesn't mean we don't question them. We can ask questions. That's not a bad thing to do. Followers of Jesus are called to leave that which is familiar to live differently. When we recognize that we're unworthy to be used of the Lord, then we are in the right position, the exact right position to be used. If we think, "Oh, I can just do it all," then we might not be as useful as we realize. "I don't know if I can do this. I really need your help." because then it's God who makes us worthy. We can't be worthy on our own. We don't have any worthiness in ourselves. If we think we're fit, we're probably not. But if we know that it's God who makes us fit and that God will make us fit, then we will be fit. The most unworthy can be used of God if that person surrenders to God. God makes the unfit fit for service. And it can be difficult at times because we fall back into our unworthiness, our messiness. Maybe Isaiah didn't speak every word perfectly after God gave him that task. There might have been times where he said things that he probably shouldn't have said. But God still worked in him anyway. God still patiently transforms and renews us. If we read the Gospels, we certainly know that Peter makes many mistakes. And in the book of Acts, there's a couple of places where I'm pretty sure Paul made some mistakes too. But God continued to use them. God made them worthy. We're all messy. It's just a matter of whether or not we're willing to admit it. Someone once said, live your way and get a mess. Live God's way and get a miracle. Have you encountered God in a way that your messiness and unworthiness has been exposed? Did you react like the people in our scripture today and say, I don't deserve this, and yet receive the great honor that God wants to give you? God still wants you to encounter him and be transformed by God, which is precisely why God sent us Jesus. Jesus still calls unworthy, messed up people and cleans them up and honors them so that they will live with honor, so that they will be his spokespeople in his world and do his work. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much that even though we are unworthy, you honor us. We thank you that you make us worthy. We thank you that you give us responsibility. Sometimes responsibility is something that we're not sure we always want. And yet, it is a sign that you are honoring us, that you call us to do things that are hard and challenging. So, Lord, help us to live into the honor that you give us. Help us to realize that you have made us worthy of the calling which you give us, to be your voice and your hands and your feet in the world. Lord, I pray today that if anyone senses their unworthiness, that you would know, that you would let them know that you love them exactly as they are, that you love them and that you forgive them, and that you are calling them to a new way of life. Reveal yourself to them and let them know that you want to honor them, that you want them to participate in your life and in your work. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn today is 357, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.